it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Micah Parsons has 10.5 sacks in 8 games versus the Commanders.
Oof.
We're talking about Khalil Mack versus the Raiders. This man enjoys playing that team in Washington. Yeah. No matter what their name is. And I think he's played all 3 of them. My math works out right.
They were the football team for 2 years.
I think they were the football team for 1 year, weren't they? Or was it 2 years?
I thought it might have been 2 years.
How long have they been the Commanders? This is their second year. Oh, so he might not have played the first one. Really?
Yeah, it might have been.
I don't know. I called them the football team for a couple. I called them the football team longer than they were actually the football team.
They still need to bring it back. I don't think they've ever
played. So he's never
played. So we've been doing this show. I don't think they've ever been called the Redskins.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so.
God, it was that long ago?
Maybe they have, though, because I remember we were saying.
Yeah, 2020, they rebranded.
Okay. So during this show, they've never been called the Redskins.
Wait, in 2020, that means
before we started, I think.
Oh, all right.
That 2020 year, they were the football team. And we hated it. And then we were like, it's actually pretty cool.
It became the Washington.
Yeah, 2019 was the last year. Last season.
And Commanders is just trash.
They were the football team for...
They really should have been the football team.
Yeah, lean into it.
I don't think I can learn anything about the Packers coming out of this game, but if the Commanders win, I think they're legit. Yeah.
I still think that I absolutely think the Commanders are legit. I just don't think they're gonna beat the Packers, and I don't think they're legit in the sense that I don't have them inked in for a second appearance in the NFC Championship.
I don't think kind of what Jesse was talking about. I'm not going to dock the Commanders if they lose this game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? This is a game, even though it's the first Thursday night game and the teams haven't taken like a beating physically or anything at this point, you're still Thursday, short week, got to travel to a good team like Green Bay. That you lose that game by 14 points or whatever, it's tough, man. Almost a schedule loss. Almost. But I'm not going to look down on the Commanders if they don't win this game. I will look at the Packers a little funny if they lose this game.
See me, I won't.
I win this game, man. Win this game. You're at home.
So that's the thing. Like, yeah, you're at home. Well, you can talk about vibes all you want to. You're at home. Great point number one. It's Thursday. Mm-hmm. You're at home on a short week. Like, this game favors you. Like, just right out the gate, this game favors you.
I'll put it
at home, short week.
I'll put it to you like this. If they lose this game, that doesn't mean like they're a bum team, talking about the Packers. But I will definitely think the Commanders are better than you.
That's fine.
That's how I'd look at them.
Yeah, that's fine. It's actually there's a couple of really good games this week. Of course, the big one being the Super Bowl rematch with the Eagles at Arrowhead, taking on the Kansas City Chiefs, and sneaky good game? Question mark. Jacksonville and Cincinnati.
Wonder if this game is officially good.
Okay.
They're legit. Whoever wins the game is legit.
This is like Jacksonville can get something out of this game. I'm sure we'll talk more about all these games tomorrow. But Jacksonville can get something out of this one, right?
For sure.
They can get something out of this game.
Yeah, this is a game where they can kind of put themselves on the map for this year. Like, it's not the same old Jacksonville. You know, this is a Jaguars team that you're going to have to take seriously when you play them and could win the division. This is a good game. This is a good game right here. I'll be tapped in for that. Well,
Liam Cohen
be on the side TV.
Liam Cohen says Travis Hunter's going to play more snaps on defense, too.
I did not get to see any of his defensive plays.
He wasn't out there much. On the defensive yeah.
Play. You said 6?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what they told us. Like, we shouldn't be surprised, but yeah. I'll be locked into, like, this will be on the quad box. I'll be watching this one.
For sure.
I will absolutely be watching this one. And the quad box is going to be easy because we got a game tonight, and then we got two. Of course, you got Sunday night. You got two Monday, so that's going to free up some room. We're going to be able to watch every football game this week.
Well, I think a gang of games are on at 10 a.m. I think there's like three games at 1.
Three games in the red zone.
I got like 9 in the morning.
Now it's 3 games in the red zone.
Tap in for Patriots-Dolphins, loser leaves town match.
Well,
just whoever loses that game, you write them off.
Oh, you mean as a team?
As a team.
It's loser leaves town quicker.
Yes.
First.
Yeah, who loser leaves town first. That's right. Tune in next week for the next matchup.
Miami got to win this one, man. I got Miami winning this one. Also, if you haven't made your picks, go to D-Lone KC Pick'em League. I got Miami winning this one. They'll bounce back.
Get your picks in for tonight.
They'll be fine. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to tell you that because.
No, I know. You've been trying to cheat. What, like, who are you winning the Pick'em League right now?
I didn't even check the standings. Let me see what's going on.
You know, you would know if you're winning. You're not winning the Pick'em League.
I am. Well, I had an okay week last week. Okay week.
Hold on. Steven, disqualified. Sakarin, disqualified. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, what are you guys doing?
Wow. Sakarin,
the Pick'em League.
Don't even play
the Pick'em League.
Y'all gotta listen.
Your organization is a disaster. Get your organization under control, Tony Khan. This is ridiculous. And you know what I was just about to say? Head over to BakerFamilyWines.com and join Dusty's Clubhouse. That's what I was about to tell you.
Yeah.
But y'all were eager about, it's good to be right and all of this other stuff.
They got hyped up.
Goodness gracious.
Be better.
Please, all of you, be better. BakerFamilyWines.com. Join Dusty's Clubhouse for exclusive releases and tasting room specials. And know that D'Lo and KC are planning an event out there. On a Sunday where we can watch football together, where you could taste some of these new releases, exclusive releases, some of these tasting room specials that they got there right there in their tasting room, KC, which is in Napa.
No, it's not.
Amador County.
No, it's not.
Lodi.
No, sir.
Where is Dusty Baker's Baker Family Wines tasting room?
West Sacramento, centrally located to everybody. Great location in West Sac. Been there a number of different times. Vibes are always up. It's a good time to go out there and have a little taste, watch a game, you know what I'm saying? Something like that. It's a great place.
Look for that familiar baseball stitch. If you're at a Nugget, grab some of Dusty Baker's wine to kick off your weekend to watch the football game tonight. It is incredible work. It is absolutely what you would expect from the Hall of Fame manager who's now putting his passion into being a Hall of Fame winemaker. And I have got confirmation. Dusty Baker is going to be with us here on D'Lo and KC.
Let's go.
In person, and it's going to be this month.
Let's go.
The chances of that date being moved, very high. That's why I'm not telling you. But right now, it is scheduled. Dusty Baker going to be here with D'Lo and KC.
Let's cook.
Later on this month.
Let's cook. No doubt.
Oh, man.
Also.
There's also rumors we're going to make wine.
Looking forward to it.
I'm dead serious.
Looking forward to it. I'm with it.
There's rumors we're going to make wine.
Also. Shout out Rust Dog, making wine.
Yeah, I don't know that's you don't have to keep track of this. This isn't a league.
I got you, Rust Dog.
No,
second win of the season.
This isn't a thing. All right,
making wine.
It's fine. Yeah. Well, all right, we'll come back. Matt George had a lot to say or type about Adam Silver's press conference, which was bad. And we'll talk to our man Matt George again. We're just a couple of weeks away. From Media Day and the start of NBA training camp. That's coming up. Our man Matt George of the Locked On Kings podcast and ABC 10 here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 13.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Matt George will be with us whenever the hell he wants. What are you laughing at now?
Well, I don't even. This isn't even funny. It's just shaking my head. Uber says it will launch helicopter rides as soon as 2026.
Nah, it's cool, man. Thank you, though. I appreciate it. It's good.
Come on, man.
It's good. We're doing too much, man.
We are.
We're doing way too much.
Can I get a taxi?
Yeah. No, just give me a car. Just come pick me up. I don't need a helicopter to queue. Just come pick me up and take me to the so I can have some wine.
I want
to
take it all the way back.
You did pull up in a helicopter.
Who?
You get out of a helicopter ready to go?
I'm not pulling up in a helicopter.
I've never been in a helicopter.
Remember when Theo and his prom dates took the helicopter to prom?
Vaguely.
Messed up their hair, messed up their outfit.
Right. It was Rochelle one of the, or Charette, what was the girl's name that talked really fast? Was she one of the dates? She was not Theo's date, but.
Was it Rochelle?
Oh, she was actually.
Wasn't Justine.
No, she was the. The girl who ended up being on Living Single, her friend. She was the cousin.
Okay.
She was the cousin's friend. So she might have been later in the whole thing.
All right.
Yeah. Erica Alexander.
Anyways, I'm not taking an Uber. Yeah. Anyways, I'm not taking an Uber helicopter.
You've been in a helicopter before?
No.
I don't want to say I'll never be in a helicopter, but I'm not.
There's no need.
No. Yeah, I'm good.
Like, unless you're taking a helicopter ride over New York City, I guess. That's, like, the only thing I've ever heard of. Like,
Vegas. They do it for Vegas.
Do they?
Yeah.
New York one does look cool, but...
See more again, walking down the strip than part of the helicopter.
Hard pass.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Hard pass.
I am okay. In a very, very... it's a terrible transition, I guess. You know what I watched?
Well, it can't be worse than all of our guests hating us.
That's facts.
One just didn't show up. He's probably still in a meeting, but laying out
strategy. The one that did show up hates us because we had to reschedule him.
Yeah,
didn't show up.
Yeah, and now, right, and now Matt's just like, the hell with these
Yeah,
idiots.
Matt's been mad at us all day.
I'll get there whenever the hell I want to.
Did you watch the Katrina doc on Netflix?
No.
That
was an interesting transition.
Yeah, well, because they were... They're getting pulling people up in helicopters off the roofs.
Mm.
And that was crazy. I think it's three episodes. I'm in the middle of the second episode, but just one of those things. I remember vividly that 3-4 days.
I do too. I flew through it to Miami, the Video Music Awards and MTV Awards in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the craziest trip I've ever taken in my life, because we had an agent who worked really hard to get. He was like, the best I could do is I could get you to Fort Lauderdale. Mm. He got us to Fort Lauderdale. I remember getting on the first plane, and I was sitting on the aisle of one seat, and my partner on the KSFM show was about two rows in front of me on the aisle, and he kind of put his head back. I was like, hey, Trey, where are we going? And he doesn't even look back, and he goes, I don't know.
Mm.
I had no clue where the first flight was going. Mm. I just knew we were ending in Fort Lauderdale. The flight went to Georgia. It went to Atlanta.
Gotcha.
We got in Atlanta, connected to Fort Lauderdale, had to find a car to drive us through that disaster to get to Miami. No one would do it except one old man who couldn't see. And Jesse, he drove us through the Everglades. And that's why I'm not going back with you.
What the hell?
You made
because
it.
I was certain I was going to die because the hurricane had hit Miami. Yeah. It had knocked stuff into the road. My brother in Christ could not see anything until it was right in front of him. So he'd be driving, driving. There'd be a whole ass tree in the middle of the road. And he'd swerve and miss it. And go right back.
Oh, no, man, no.
It went on for hours. Finally checked into our hotel. Mind you, we have no luggage because the luggage is on the flight to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
We got on a flight to Fort Lauderdale.
Mm.
And so shout out to MTV. They took amazing care of us, took us to the airport the next day, grabbed our luggage, and then thus began the process of running up the biggest expense report I've ever handed into a company ever.
Jeez.
We didn't know how bad it was in New Orleans because we got there, and once we got through that first day of kind of just like dealing with what we were dealing with, it was nonstop interviews, and these were good interviews. Like, this is where I met Floyd Mayweather, Usher. Like, these weren't little rinky-dink interviews that you do at the Grammys. Like, these were the big dogs. Yeah. Lil Wayne, Trina, all of them. And we didn't know how bad it was until we got on a plane to come back. And we're now at the airport watching the news like, yo, what is this? Like, where is this? Oh, it's New Orleans. Now the boss is calling like, hey, when you get back, we got a game plan because we have to come up with something to try to help.
Yeah.
And it's like, yo, what is going on? And he tells me everything that has happened. And it's like, all right, well, you know, we land at like midnight. We'll see it 5 a.m.
Yeah, it's a well done documentary, but it's they got people who were recording like home video 2 days before, like, hey, just going down the street, like, you leaving? Nah, I ain't going nowhere. Like, it's crazy to see one of the guys goes who was doing the video, doing the home video. He says he stepped out the night before. He stepped out or the evening, afternoon before. And it was getting kind of late as far as like evacuation. And he steps out and he looks on his block and looks down the street. He said, everybody gone.
Mm.
And he said, I think this is the last time I'm ever see this like this.
Mm.
He's like, I got to get out of here. And he ended up getting to the Superdome. But that was crazy. Like, I told the story before. I was there. It hit on a Saturday or a Sunday. And I was in New Orleans on Tuesday. I was in New Orleans on that Tuesday. And we were going to be there till maybe like Wednesday. And my mom was like, because we had to go back, drive back to Atlanta. And my mom was like, I just think we should go now. Like, I just think we should. They said it's going to rain a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should just go back now. And we left on Tuesday. And nobody was on the road yet or nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the rain was crazy on that half of that drive there. It was crazy. I was like, man, I didn't drive. Luckily, I was like 19 or something like that. My mom was driving. I was like, this rain is crazy. And then by the time we went to Atlanta for a couple of days, came back to California, by the time we land that night, I remember everything's boarded up here in New Orleans. They're bracing for the... I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
It was crazy. Doc is really good, though. It's just... it's one of those things that kind of fascinates me, like to see the stories. It's super sad. Like, it's devastating, but I always check those things out.
The NBA All-Star Game was there a few years after that, and I remember it was the first All-Star Game I had been to, and NBA Cares took us to a neighborhood, like, and you can see from the freeway, like, it wasn't like a house or two that would just be like, they're boarded up and all of this stuff. Like, you would see entire neighborhoods. And I remember driving in, the driver taking us in and asking what the markings on the boards were.
Mm-hmm.
Worst question I've ever asked, because he told me. And it was, were there people inside? Were they dead? Had they been recovered? And were there pets inside?
Mm.
And that's what the markings were. And I remember going to a neighborhood for NBA Cares. And it's that Saturday where you get out in the community, and it was rebuilding this woman's house. It was the only house in the entire neighborhood that was getting rebuilt. Like, I can't remember if she had, like, it, like, her and her husband had built it. They had lived there like their entire life. And it was like, that was just going to be the one house. It was on the corner. I'll never forget what it looks like. And it was like, this is what we're going to do today. We're going to, you know, rebuild this house.
Mm-hmm.
And walking around that neighborhood was 2 years later, whatever it was one of the most stunning things I've ever seen.
Mm.
Yeah. You don't feel like there's a very much a sense of like, where am I?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where in the world am I right now that I see this?
Yeah.
And it's New Orleans.
Man.
Crazy.
And that's, it's crazy. Like, the other crazy part about that is they talk about the people who got downtown and stayed in the hotels, and like windows were blown out of like the Hyatt and stuff like that. But this all happened kind of like in the middle of the night, like the eye of the storm was in the middle of the night. And the people who were there, it was like, man, it was terrifying. It was scary. Like, this was just crazy. And then when it stopped, it was like the morning. They woke up and they look around and some people walk outside and they're like, we made it. Like, it's cool. Cause downtown and Bourbon Street wasn't flooded. Mm-hmm. It was just like, okay, we're cool. And then they were like, wait, what? We just heard the levees broke. And they're like, the lower ninth ward levee broke. And they're like, oh no, please tell me you lying. Cause they knew what that meant. They knew if that broke, the rest of the city, that part of the city is in a bad way. I think like four levees ended up breaking. And then they're like, they started to say they were getting pictures and messages and seeing TV of just neighborhoods just underwater. Just
I'll have to check that out. Yeah, I'll have to check that out. Let's bring in Matt George. Matt, live is his ABC 10 studio. Matt, why do you hate us?
Huh?
Why do you hate us?
You're Damien Instigator Barling over here trying to make it out like I'm cranky today.
No. I didn't say you say you were a little fired up.
He was fired up.
You were a little fired up in the chat.
Yeah.
You were a little fired up on Twitter yesterday. Yeah. Let's start with
I was fired up at Adam Silver. I wasn't fired up in the chat. I was confused.
Okay, well let's start with
I'm fired up.
Let's start with Adam Silver. We played clips of Adam Silver's press conference yesterday. I think we both had the opportunity to go home and watch the full 34-minute version once the show ended, and it was bad. It was arguably Adam's worst day as a commissioner. Like, he didn't fall on his face or anything, but he literally said nothing right yesterday. Absolutely nothing.
Can't get right.
And I know there's a couple of things that he said yesterday that really got under your skin.
Yeah, I just thought his comments in particular about the concerns, extremely valid concerns about fans not being able to find their team's games, and the concern about how many streaming services that they have to have and paying even more money in an already extremely inflated economy where it only seems like every day things are just getting more and more expensive. Like that struck home for me because while I have a lot of these streaming services, every single month when I see him charge my bank account, I'm upset about it, even if I can't afford it. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like whether it's I get an email every year about the price of YouTube TV going up or these channels disappearing with the price staying the same, or God, now I have to have this subscription in order to watch this specific show and blah, blah, blah. Like it's I know it's irritating for a lot of people. And when the NBA is rightfully, like everybody else, starting to seep into this streaming service era and people are expressing concerns about it, for the commissioner of the entire league to essentially in a backhanded way say, well, if you're too poor to watch it or too you can't figure out how to watch it, you can just go watch highlights on YouTube or Instagram, I thought was extremely tone deaf. I thought it was insulting to consumers who highly value your product. And I'm looking at it from the perspective of someone that, do I watch nationally televised games? Sure. But I don't want to watch the Golden State Warriors or Los Angeles Lakers 55 times a year. Like, I want to watch 82 games of Sacramento Kings basketball. And I know there's a fan of the Minnesota Timberwolves, and maybe that's a bad example because they're good this year. A fan of the Portland Trailblazers who watches 82 games of Trailblazers basketball and then maybe has on the background in their living room while they're cooking dinner the Thursday night game or Wednesday night game on TNT between the Warriors and the Lakers. And maybe that's on for them. Or they'll watch the games on Christmas Day or on a holiday weekend or things like that just because it's part of the holiday experience. But to dismiss the people that just want to watch their team 82 times a year, even if that team isn't very good, because they value those games, and just say, well, if you can't find it, you can find clips that journalists like Matt George post on YouTube or on Twitter while they're happening, or you can go onto YouTube 30 minutes after the game and get a cut down 20-minute highlight reel, because heaven forbid you go on ESPN to watch the highlights, because it's the same thing. It's the same three or four teams that they'll show religiously. Or if your team plays one of those top teams, they'll show five highlights from that one team and then one highlight from your team, even if your team won. Because that, like, I just thought it was an incredibly tone-deaf, insulting comment from a commissioner who should be trying to make their product as accessible as possible. If Commissioner Silver were to have said, like, I understand the concerns of people who don't want or are hesitant to pay the price of a streaming service, we believe our product is worth that value. And we believe our product is so good that you would be willing to sacrifice another streaming service, cancel another service so that you could have this one to watch our product. I would respect that. But for him to not go that route and to just dismiss people and say, then just watch the highlights on YouTube, which is also extremely counterproductive after the 3 or 4 or 5 years of you trying to emphasize that the regular season matters and all these games matter and the implementation of the NBA Cup, all these things, getting rid of load management, forcing stars to play specific games, all to make the regular season matter. And now you're saying, well, you can miss a regular season game. Who cares? Because you can just go watch it on, watch highlights on YouTube. I just thought it was just a dumb thing to say for a very brilliant, or what we believe to be very brilliant, commissioner of one of the top, most popular leagues, companies, industries on the planet.
I agree wholeheartedly with everything that you said. I'm just asking the question, what would you kind of mentioned a little bit, well, what would you have wanted him to say in that situation? And even him saying that wouldn't change the reality of prices going up. So what would you, I asked two questions or made a statement, but what would you have wanted him to say in that situation?
Yeah, it's kind of similar to what I said in that little rant, is like, to me, just express that this is where everything is going. And you believe that your product is worth this value. Like, this is where, hey, this is where the industry is headed. There's going to be some growing pains. We're still figuring some things out. I acknowledge the fact that that's concerning for some people. We will, we're experimenting. This is a new era for us, but we believe that our product is worth you getting that subscription, and hope that you will, like, believe in us, trust in us, and pay what it is to be able to watch those games. Like, no, I just would have respected something along those lines. Or even if he just straight acknowledged, like, yeah, it's more expensive. That's kind of where we're at, and go from there. I would have appreciated him being more upfront about it. Cause again, I'm watching the games no matter what. I already have the subscription services. I'm also fortunate enough to be able to follow the Sacramento Kings in the way that I follow the Sacramento Kings. So I'm speaking from a different situation from a lot of people, but I have talked to fans who go, yeah, I'm not getting Amazon Prime to watch the 3 times or 5 times the Kings are on Prime this year. Like, that's not worth it for me. If I already had Amazon Prime, then okay, this is a good benefit. But I there are thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that right now cannot afford to add a $12.99 subscription service or whatever it may be to pay for whatever games that the NBA has chosen for their particular team on that streaming service. And if the answer from the commissioner is, well, the other 76 games will be on your normal station, so just watch those, I think that's insulting and dismissive of the very valid concerns of your consumer.
I actually think Adam wants to make it worse. We've talked about this in the past. Excuse me. Adam Silver does not like regional sports networks. And he has made that ridiculously clear. As a matter of fact, yesterday might be the first time he hasn't brought it up. He brought it up kind of in a roundabout way, but never directly said, yeah, we've got to get out of this archaic way that we air basketball games locally. I'm of the belief what he wants to do is create some sort of subscription service where you subscribe to something to watch your Sacramento Kings play every night. I don't know that for sure, but I think that's what he wants. I think he clearly doesn't want NBC Sports California and, you know, Bally's, all of these different Fox Sports, all of these different, some defunct, some still functioning networks. He doesn't want those to have control over NBA basketball. He wants himself, he wants his league to be able to control the output of those basketball games. And I think the primary way to do that is to offer fans what is essentially single team league pass accounts to watch their favorite team, which would create, and I don't think this would be anything extravagant, $50. I don't think it would be anything like that, but I do think we'd be looking at $10 to $15, maybe $25 to watch the Sacramento Kings play every year.
And if that's where we're headed, I can see that model being successful. And but the path to get there is probably going to be bumpy and is going to have some curves and some struggles to get there. If that's the end result, then I think ultimately people would validate that and feel better about that. But while you are transitioning away from the common model of I know what
local channel my team is. Can I stop you right there? Because I don't know that that's accurate, and I'm not sure you're understanding fully what I'm saying. I'm saying Amazon and NBC and all of that stuff still exist. But if you want to see the Kings versus the Wizards on a Tuesday night, you have to subscribe to this League Pass in addition to everything else you already subscribe to see them when they're on NBC and when they're on these. Because, sweetie, we're not going to do anything to damage this $76 billion partnership we just established with all these networks. What we want to do is take these other regional networks and teams out of the control of their local games and bring them to you as a league. So it's an added expense for you to watch every single game that your team plays.
Well, we're gonna see how companies like the WWE going over to ESPN and potentially eventually making their premier live events, their PLEs, cost an additional. It's not doing that right now, but I would not be surprised if PLEs start to cost a little additional on top of the subscription price. So if that's where we're headed, I people are naturally going to be frustrated. But you just, one of the things you said there that made me smile is you said, like, you don't want to jeopardize these massive TV deals that you just signed with all these companies, and yet you just devalued regular season basketball games by the comments that you made about just go watch highlights then if you can't see it. So you're already counterproductive to what you're trying to do. You're already, if I'm a TV company, if I'm NBC and I just spent all this money, or whoever, and I heard those comments from Adam Silver, I'm going, yo, what? No, that's not what we want. Yeah.
They actually, and I don't know how it works out locally. I'm not sure if you're able to do it or it's blacked out or whatever. They do have the single team league pass for like $13 a month. Mm. You weigh that against, I think on YouTube TV, the sports package is $10 a month, maybe something like that.
Does NBC Sports California need the sports package?
I'm not sure.
Okay. I don't think it does. I think it's like things like Red Zone. Mm. What they do is they put the Red Zone in the sports package, and then they add like the NASCAR channel and then, you know, the cricket channel and stuff that you'll never watch, but you're paying for 10 stations because you want the Red Zone channel.
VSIP or something like that, one of those channels.
Sure.
Overtime. I do watch Overtime. I think you get it too. I think
that's,
you get it
that's Shams was on there. Is that where that show lived?
Yeah.
And Beatle?
It's usually like they play Mikey Williams' reality show 40 times a day, basically, but it's like high school prep sports type stuff. But yeah, I think they were at FanDuel.
You're right. Yeah. Did you guys see Matt Kenny? Did you guys see Mark Cuban's tweet in response to Adam Silver's press conference yesterday? I'm seeing this for the first time.
I did not see it.
He quote tweeted a tweet that we referenced from Rachel Nichols yesterday, and he said, Adam definitely whiffed on this one, but I can tell you that unless a lot has changed in the last 20 months, he is one of the people standing up for fans in a room where a lot of owners are not. Hmm. And that's the difficulty of being a commissioner of a major sport, is you are the mouthpiece for the board of, you are the mouthpiece for the governors in that room. Mm-hmm. Roger Goodell is a mouthpiece. Adam Silver is a mouthpiece. Adam Silver usually handles himself a little bit better than he did yesterday. But as someone who has been in the room, Mark Cuban says that's not really indicative of how Adam Silver feels.
And that was the first time for me where I felt like Adam Silver was speaking for the elite. Like when I hear Rob Manfred talk, I know exactly who he's speaking for, and he doesn't even try and hide it. I think Adam Silver has done a pretty consistent job of representing ownership, his bosses, owners, but not being demeaning in any sort of way towards the consumer. And while Adam didn't do this directly, and this is just my WWE brain working, like hearing those comments, I had the gif of Hunter Hearst Hemsley in my head, just kind of turning his nose up at, if you can't afford to watch me, then piss off to YouTube and watch highlights over there, peasants. Like that's how it
sounds, like
came
a
across.
Bad impression of me doing a Luka Doncic.
That's your Luka Doncic?
Yeah, no one knows why. It's just the way it is. I have no idea why that became my Luka Doncic, but it did. I love that version of Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Gross.
Get out of here. Guy who would wrestle in a pig pen match later. Yeah, this road we're going, like sports leagues are making it really hard to be sports fans. They're making it really expensive to be sports fans. But as we talked about yesterday, as Kenny and I talked about, Matt, this is just all on top of the other things we have to pay for in life. Rent going up, mortgage rates changing, groceries being expensive, gas being expensive, electricity being expensive, all of those different things. It's like, now you want me to pay $3 more for NBC. You want me to pay $3 more so I can get home and relax and watch the things I like to watch.
And that's why I felt that Silver's comments were so dismissive, because the vast majority of the country is going through that. And Adam and his bosses might not have to worry about that because they can only swim in a pool of their own net worth. But like the rest of us deal with the frustrations of, like I said, an email every month about a different streaming service going up, or going to the grocery store and having to maybe take a look at the store brand just to save a couple of bucks, because you used to go in and get 6 items and walk out and it was $30. Now you go through self-checkout thinking this will be nothing, and it's $75, and you're angry walking to your car. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just the reality of the world that we live in. And look, I get capitalism and I get inflation and supply and demand and all this stuff, but that doesn't mean it's fun to go through. And when you have a commissioner get asked a very valid question about the concerns of the average consumer in this inflated economy about the price of something that they use to even escape the chaos of the world, and you have that kind of response to it, I think it's just very damaging and very insulting, and not something a commissioner of a league should be saying.
He just missed. That was a really bad response. I also think that there isn't much he could have said that would have made people feel better about mm-hmm. having to spend that type of money
yeah.
to do that, but at least try. Like, at least try to do something better.
Right.
So.
Right. There's a couple of things Kings related I want to ask you. Obviously, none of it's pressing. We're a couple of weeks away from media day. But do you have any thoughts on this Kawhi Leonard, Los Angeles Clippers, Pablo Torre situation that you want to share?
I've been following it mostly through listening to Kyle and James and the four of you discuss it in the handoff and reading about it online. I've not listened to either of the podcast episodes. I think it's phenomenal investigative journalism by someone who is putting their neck out there in a major way to put this information out there. And he's taking on one of the richest men on the planet in doing so, even if I'd hope, based off of Ballmer's personality, that he's not the vindictive type. Like, you're taking on a massive fish, and I admire the work and the guts of Pablo Torre to put something together strong enough to be able to go out there like this. So there's a certain amount of respect on that side. The only feeling that I have towards it is kind of very similar to what James and Kyle have said. If it's true, and it sounds like it's true, then the NBA needs to come down hard on this, and they certainly can't brush it under the rug. And there's the jealous Sacramentan in me that's like, of course it's an LA team doing something like this. Like, you can't allow, they already have every advantage on the planet in terms of market and things of that nature to attract free agents. Why would we let them get away with more advantages of sliding money under the table to these bogus tree planting companies? So I'm more of a interested bystander watching to see how the league handles things at this point. I'm not invested in any sort of way. I would hope that if no punishment happens, then I would like to believe that no punishment is happening because there's genuinely not enough there. And then we can get to actual basketball on the floor and forget that this is even a story and move on. But look, I think something's going on, and the league probably should do something about it and can't just brush it under the rug. And if they do, then especially owners of smaller market teams, I'm not necessarily just saying Vivek Ranadive, but smaller market teams should be ringing the bell going, yo, like we don't have these advantages. We're already at a disadvantage with these teams. And now they're circumventing the salary cap to make sure that they can keep their stars or get their stars in LA, in Hollywood. Nah, that's not cool. We got to do something about that.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is this a market issue or an owner issue? Because I think, Damien, you talked about this. We're really talking about one owner that has money that you just can't see. Yeah. Like everybody else, obviously, Lakeup's got more money than Vivek, but it's not $15 billion more dollars than Vivek. Like there's one guy, and I guess now maybe, you know, you talk about the Lakers and their ownership group.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Tsai, Joe Lacob, I'm not as familiar as with the Celtics, but there's like, I mean, obviously all of these people have money, but there's even levels to wealth, and Bomber is just on a different level than not only any owner in the NBA, but any owner in professional sports. He is on a different, but don't make any mistake about it. A lot of owners, not all of them, at least in my opinion, not all of them, but a lot of them, they can afford to do something similar to this. It's just, Ballmer's been an investor his entire life. Right. It's going to look funny if all of a sudden, like, oh, no, Vivek invested in one tech company and it really took off. Now, all of a sudden, he's investing in trees and a balloon company. Mm-hmm. They just really love balloons.
The balloon company.
They asked Domantas Sabonis to take a picture with a balloon. He said no. Like, wait a minute. They paid him $15 million. Like, that's going to look crazy.
Yeah.
Someone investigate if Vivek has any staking Great Clips. Aren't those the commercials that Domas is doing, the Great Clips commercials?
I don't think I've seen it.
I don't think I've seen it either. Like, the joke has been Pizza Guys.
Oh, yeah. No, he's great. Domas does Great Clips commercials, or has done them in the past, and they made me laugh every time.
Okay. Changing subjects. Does Terrence Davis getting waived yesterday or the day before, does that mean anything? Is it signaling something?
So.
Signal out there?
I don't think so. I think the writing was on the wall with that, with the fact that it was a non-guaranteed contract and another guy that Scott Perry inherited and wasn't one of his guys. So I think it was always going to happen that TD would be waived, unfortunately. But as far as I understand, that doesn't open the door to Russell Westbrook, come on through, because if that were the case, then why wasn't this done a month or two ago? So I think it's a step in the right direction, I suppose, but it sounds like there's still more work to be done before Russ walks through that door, and we're all still waiting on the Kuminga side of things too. So here we are, just waiting.
Oh, I apologize.
Kuminga watch. Oh,
I don't even know. I'd never know. It just get our bits in. That's all it is. As they say in wrestling, got to get my stuff off.
Got to get your stuff off, which reminds me. Download the Prize Picks app. Put in the promo code KIFM to get $50 off your first $5 lineup. Just put in that promo code KIFM to get $50 off your first $5 lineup. Must be present in certain states.
Go to Prize Picks. Whoa. We don't even get a lineup?
Well, I have a lineup, but I wanted to get back to Matt George.
Well, give us a lineup real quick.
All right, well, look.
A quick one.
LSU in Florida. I've got Aaron Anderson at 4.5 receptions. I went more.
It's not even a
DJ Lagway.
Sideline reporter? What is that?
DJ Lagway at 40.5 for as long as completion. I went less. And Garrett Neusenmeyer, I think that's how you say his last name. I always forget. But he's going to ball out against Florida. I got him at more than 224.5 passing yards. Also, there's a max discount with Travis Kelce.
Okay.
I threw that in there, too. So
okay.
Yeah, it's a good look. You must be present in certain states. Go to prizepicks.com for more details. Prize Picks.
Oh, you're having a tough time over there, huh?
Well, no, because the general manager,
it's a sham.
I don't know what's going on.
It's filthy McNasty.
Okay. So this is asked. Does the little apostrophe here, does that matter?
No, but I see two people before that.
Yeah, they got disqualified.
They got disqualified for that.
Okay. I had to check.
No, I don't worry about that.
I apologize.
It's good to be right.
What a disaster.
Filthy, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, okay, we're good.
Rinky-dink league. Just filthy. Running around sticking forks in people's ears here.
Is there spaces in these little fire emojis too? Or this is different font? I don't know.
Yeah, that does look. Now that looks different too.
Yeah, that looks counterfeit. Let me see your ticket, sir.
Matt, we're less than 2 weeks away. We're a little over 2 weeks away from the start of training camp. Are you starting to get a little excited, or are you just kind of like, I don't know how this is all going to go?
No, I can't help it. Of course I am. I can't help it. Like, it's in the blood, right? And I did a podcast with Deuce about this earlier this week. Mm-hmm. It's in the blood, man. Even with all the fears and concerns and apprehension that I have about where this team is at right now. Hey, Kings basketball coming back. Hey, but what if, like, what enjoying the little moments of what does it look like when Zach LaVine has another one of those fourth quarters that we've saw a couple of times in the final third of the season? Hey, what if Doug Christie can be the guy to fit all these pieces together? What if it clicks? What if Nick Clifford is as good as we saw him in summer league, right? So there's always the best part about sports is while we can have a pretty good idea of what's going to happen, we never know for sure. And so there's always that element of like possibility that intrigues me. Plus, like in Sacramento, it's a festival, it's a holiday, bringing Kings basketball back and being in the Golden One Center. Like it's a treat. It's a privilege that I never take for granted in my position of being able to cover the team that I grew up watching. I've told people if I wasn't doing this job for a living, I'd be a season ticket holder and be there every night anyway. Oh, just because this
rich.
Is
rich.
Well, I'd be up in the, I'd be sitting with Drew up in the top with the view that you can't see half the court up there by that little production box up there. But no, I'd be enjoying Sacramento Kings basketball because it's a festival for us and it's a holiday every time I get to go out there and spend time with 18,000 or 17,000 Kings fans who are there for the same reason. So there's reasons about this team to be excited. There are a number of things about this team to be intrigued about, and that's what has my attention really going into training camp. So I'm in, man. I'm in. It might take a week into the season and I go, oh God, this is bad as I thought. We're in for a long year. But as of now, I'm in. Bring on media day, bring on training camp. I'm all in.
Matt, great stuff as always. If you're not, and I'm sure you already are, make sure you're subscribed to the Locked On Kings podcast, wherever you get podcasts from. Check out our man Matt and his great work over at ABC10. As well, we'll be back here. We got a great football game tonight. We'll be back here to talk about it tomorrow. Get you ready for week 2 NFL action, beginning with the insiders here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Space Traders.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
the Browns outside of
Browns. You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos,
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.